Reading Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove! For then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I would have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. The verse that I want us to focus on is verse 6. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. I wonder how many of us have thought like that. If only I could get away from it all. If only I could escape from my circumstances. And the truth is that there are two answers. One is, yes, we should, and the other is, no, we shouldn't. It depends on the circumstances. This psalm is generally thought to have been written by David at the time of his son Absalom's revolt. And it was a time, we find it in 2 Samuel 15, when because of this rebellion, David was forced to leave Jerusalem. And he'd been betrayed. He'd been betrayed by one of his most trusted counselors, Ahithophel. Ahithophel went off with Absalom. And it was a terrible blow to David. David was forced to flee from Jerusalem to save his life. And so when he says in verse 1, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication, it was in this kind of despair that he was crying out to God. Now, this is a sort of psalm that all of us, in one sense, can make our own, depending on our own circumstances. And there are times of desperation when we need and we want to cry out to God because there's nowhere else that we can go. And I think that there is one part of this psalm and this desire to escape that must be right. First of all, in David's case, he had to escape Jerusalem to save his life. This is what we read in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 14. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were his concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in the place that was far off. There is sometimes an escape that is necessary. That's what these verses show us, because if David hadn't escaped, he would have perished. And there's escape, and an escape that each one of us must make. We sang in that first hymn about the terrors of the tomb. And friends, each one of us needs to escape from the terror of death. And that is the terror of death without Christ. Any one of us who goes to the grave with the weight of our sins and the guilty conscience is going to his destruction. And in that situation, it is right to pray, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Oh, that I can fly away from this destruction that's coming upon me. Because it is. John the Baptist said to the Pharisees, you brood of vipers, why are you fleeing from the wrath to come? See, there is a wrath to come. There's a judgment to come that every one of us needs to flee away from. And David, in that sense, is echoing a godly prayer when he says, give me the wings of a dove that I might fly away from that judgment. Who is it, friends, who can give us the wings of a dove to fly away from that coming judgment? Well, there is one, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus paid for your sin and my sin. And if we put our trust in him, and if we repent of our sins, putting our trust in Christ, then we will be kept safe from that storm. We will have our sins forgiven, and we will be at rest. Friends, if there's anyone here who has a restless soul, then can I invite you to come to Christ and to repent of your sins and to trust in him. Because if we don't, if we remain in our sin, and death takes us, and it will take all of us, then we have nothing but the judgment of God and eternal perdition, eternal punishment to look forward to. Verse 22 applies in both the situations I'm going to address this morning. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. The burden of our sin cannot be borne by us. It is too heavy for us, and it will take us to hell. Friends, each one of us has a burden of sin. The Bible says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous, no, not even one. You will not be able to go through death carrying your sin and get safe through on the other side. It will take you down to hell. And so you need to come to the Lord and to lay that burden upon him, because Christ alone is able to bear it. He bore it for each one of us 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross of Calvary. The just for the unjust to lead us to God. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. Friends, the substitution has taken place. Christ is our substitute. In the Old Testament, there was this scapegoat who would be sent away into the wilderness, carrying the sins of the people. And Christ is our scapegoat. He has borne the punishment that we deserve. And in order for us to be at rest in our consciences, at rest for all eternity with Christ, we need to confess our sins and lay them on the cross of Calvary. So, friend, that is a right escape from death. So when David escaped with his armies, he did a right thing. But there's also a wrong desire to escape. And I think we see that, in one sense, in this psalm as well. You see, he was in a hideous situation. The voice of the enemy, in verse 3, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. He was in a great strait. He was being accused by the enemy. He was being oppressed for no reason. Friends, it speaks of the battles we have to go through in life. And we have to go through as Christians. Verse 5, fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. There are some situations that make us despair, make us fearful, and make us tremble. Paul said when he came to the Corinthians, I come in fear and trembling before you. If Paul could come in that state of mind, how much more does that not come upon us? Perhaps it's an opportunity to witness to Christ in a situation where you fear the consequences. Maybe it might be on a television program. Maybe it might be in front of a large crowd, and you actually want to go and hide and get away from it all. You don't want to take the consequences of your stand for Christ. I wonder how many Christians have been in that position. I've been there. I expect all of us have been there, if we're honest. And all of us can echo the cry of David when he says, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. You see, there is a desire for us to escape the situation we're in because we can't stand the heat. There's that old saying, isn't there? If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. But that is not a saying that a Christian can accept. If God has called us to a work, then it behoves us to stay with it. And the desire to escape is very real and very understandable, but it's not a desire we must give into. There have been many in Scripture who've wanted to escape. Jonah wanted to escape. The Lord sent him to Nineveh to preach to the Ninevites for them to repent of their sins. What did Jonah do? He got on a boat and he went in the opposite direction. Well, to begin with, no doubt, he felt relieved. So relieved, in fact, that when the storm came upon that ship, while everyone else was fearing for their lives, Jonah was sound asleep in the bottom of the ship. He had to be woken up by the captain. Well, he was at rest. True. But it wasn't the rest of faith. It wasn't the rest in God, because he was where God wanted him. We see another situation where the Lord Jesus was asleep in a boat while the storm raged around him. But that was a sleep of faith. And he rebuked his disciples for being afraid. And friends, we can be at rest in times of difficulty and hardship and fear in Christ. But we can't run away from it. And that's what David wanted to do. And that's what's so easy for us to want to do. Escapism, it's called, isn't it? Get away from it all. The only problem is that we can't get away from ourselves. Yes, we can change our situation, and so many people do that in life. Look up the newspaper, look at the stars, Hollywood, and they marry and they remarry and they marry again. But the only problem is that they can't get away from themselves. So the problems they bring into one relationship are simply transferred into another. Until we face up to ourselves. And that's what we need to do when we come to Christ. The only way we can come to Christ is to face up to the reality of who we are. And that's where I started. We need to lay that burden upon him. You know, it's not just about laying the burden of our sin. It's the burden that he lays upon us for the work that he has called us to do. Being a Christian is not just about having our sins forgiven. That is the way we get to heaven. But Christ has prepared us for good works, and he's prepared good works for us. We'll read that in Ephesians 2, verse 10. And we're to walk in those good works. But as we walk in those good works, friends, it's going to be tough. And that's why the Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, tells us to cast our burdens upon him, because he will sustain us, just as we read in that psalm. Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe that's the rest of faith. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. We're to take his yoke upon us as we go about the Christian walk. We're to look to him for our direction and for our example. He'll teach us. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're to bring the burdens of our lives to Christ. And he will help us. He will sustain us through the wilderness. We see in verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Christ is the only safe place to go to. Now, Paul is an example of how he dealt with his sufferings. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that he had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him. And he says the reason for it was in case he got proud, lest I should be exalted above measure. And he asks, verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me. And he said unto me," the Lord said unto him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He realized that he could not escape this trial by healing. In his case, the Lord has sent this trial to him, that by trusting in Christ, the Lord would get him through it, that God's strength would be made perfect in Paul's weakness. Friends, it's so important for us to learn the secret of divine contentment, to be content in all situations. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 6, "For godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness with contentment is great gain. And that's in contrast to worldly riches. If you want, the only way we're going to be content is in Christ, is to accept the situation that we're in. And Paul learned that in Philippians. He talks about every situation. He has learned to be content. Friends, that's the secret that each of us needs to accept. What is our situation? Do we look at somebody else and long to be like them? Whether they be wealthy, whether they be married while we're single, or single while we're married. They have parents who are Christians while we have parents who are not Christians. They have parents while we have none. And so the list can go on. It's endless, isn't it? If we compare ourselves with others, we can see some people who seem to be so prosperous, everything goes well for them, whereas for us, our situation is precarious, and we don't know from one day to the next where we will be and what we'll be doing. What is our reaction to that? Well, verse 22 tells us to cast our burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain me. See, the word burden, there's an alternative translation in your margins, and it's gift. Cast thy gift upon the Lord. Have you ever seen your burden as a gift from the Lord? Well, that's what is suggested in this verse of the psalm, that your burden is a gift from God in order for you not to be moved. See, when we have burdens, friends, it makes us more serious, doesn't it? I mean, when you can think of a time when you are burdened by a matter, and it does keep you on the straight and narrow, doesn't it? When you have responsibilities that you know you must discharge, it keeps you serious. It stops you being fickle and foolish. That's one of the privileges of growing up. You are given responsibilities. And in the discharge of those responsibilities, those responsibilities keep you responsible and serious. God will sustain us, friends. That is the secret to every trial, isn't it? My grace is sufficient. That's what the Lord told Paul. And we are not alone if we want to escape our situation. But God will not want us to escape so that we avoid trouble. He won't want us to look down through the holiday brochures and think, well, where can I go to go on holiday and get away from it all? Perhaps I'll emigrate to Australia and I'll start my life again. I saw, in fact, a program where they did exactly that, where they decided this family were considering uprooting from England to Australia, and the programme followed them as they looked for a house and looked for a job and to see whether they could make their lifestyle better then. I think they ended up staying in England. I wasn't quite sure what the conclusion of it was. But yes, it seems so attractive, doesn't it? Just to uproot and move to another part of the world. But friends, it won't help us if it is not in God's plan for us. Paul has some very good advice in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's to stay in the position we are in when we're called. It's a good thing to stay in your situation, wherever you be, and only move if the Lord changes your situation. I remember when I was in the army, I came to the place, whereas before I had wanted just to get out and move on and do something new. But that didn't seem to be what God was saying to me, but rather to stay and to trust Him. And I did, and I resolved myself that I would stay unless He moved me. Well, that's exactly what happened. He did move me through redundancy. I had to leave. And so I moved from the army with a clear conscience. And I knew that a new horizon was opening up, and it did. The bar opened up for me. And through the bar, in a manner of speaking, I ended up here. Friends, I wouldn't have had it any different. I have no regrets. I don't say to myself, if only I'd spend extra time in the army, because I couldn't spend any extra time in the army. See, when we take our futures into our own hands, then we are likely to have regrets. But as Christians, that is not how God wants us to live our lives. He wants us to abide in Him, to apply the principles of His word. The character of Christ must become our character. There's no room for discontentment in the Christian life. And it's only discontentment that makes us want to change our situation. Moving churches, moving jobs, moving house. Of course, there's a time when these things may come. But they should never come through discontentment. The Bible tells us, gives us some principles when we may have to move. But discontentment should never be one of them. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Indeed, the opposite is true, as I've tried to show you. We're to be content in every situation. Learn to be content. So take our burden. See it as a gift. Bring it to Christ. And ask Him to sustain you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The alternative is verse 7. Lo then, would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Friends, the wilderness can be a very lonely place. I enjoy walking, and I enjoy being out in the wilderness for short periods. I wouldn't like to live there. We need company. We're made for company, friends. David had a very difficult situation to face. He did leave Jerusalem with his armies. He did put in place an answer to his best friend who had betrayed him. We see a mention of that best friend in verse 13. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. They were very close. It must have been a shocking thing. But he sent Hushai the Archite to confound the wisdom of Ahithophel, and that's exactly what happened. He stood and he fought and routed Absalom, many dying in a wood, Absalom being Absalom's It's an expression that still remains with us today. It's where you're riding a horse and you get caught in a branch. And that's what happened. He was left hanging in a branch until he was killed. David didn't run away to get away from the situation. He ran to a place of safety in Christ. And he was guided by the Lord to victory. Friends, going back to the beginning, all of us need to flee from the judgment to come to Christ. We need to flee to Christ, each one of us. And each one of us needs to abide in Christ. And if you had left him, then you need to fly back to him. And if in Christ you are tempted to leave him, because the pastures seem greener elsewhere, then that is a temptation we need to resist. If we become disillusioned with our lot in life, and that disillusionment has led to discontent, then we need to resist it. We need to confess it. It's not a good thing to be discontent. It's a bad witness as a Christian. But we need to humble ourselves, bring it to the Lord Jesus, confess it. Accept that our situation, our burden, whatever it be, is actually a gift. A gift that God has given us to make us rely on him. And to accept in verse 22 that he is the one who will sustain us. He will never allow us to be moved. He will never allow us to be destroyed as we remain in him. So I trust that that is a word in season for any of us who need to hear it. Any of us who are not Christians who need to flee to Christ. Any of us who are Christians who've grown discontent with our life. Let us turn back to the Lord Jesus. Amen.